This broadcast of the PJC Media Network seeks to present wholesome, thought-provoking, and entertaining content. However, the views expressed by the hosts of PJC Media are theirs and theirs alone. They do not reflect the views of this network or its affiliates. Please utilize listener discretion.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Each week, we feature different topics concerning issues that sometimes can be difficult to talk about. These issues concern children and adults who may be autistic, have Asperger's, or have mental disorders of any kind. We will discuss law enforcement and how they interact with these persons. Now, let's start the show.
Well, good evening. Good evening. And thank you for tuning in to the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Tonight, we're going to talk about this crisis that we have going in Afghanistan, especially the one that Facebook has gotten involved in. They have added several security features to help people in Afghanistan control their accounts as fears rise of reprisals from the Taliban. In a series of tweets late Thursday, Facebook's head of security and the company had temporarily disabled the ability to view and search the friends list of Facebook accounts inside Afghanistan. He also said the platform, which is seeing a proliferation of new Taliban accounts, despite a ban on the group, had provided a tool to help Afghans quickly lock their accounts if they feared being targeted. Okay, there's a whole lot going on in Afghanistan. Okay, and the unprecedented measures target one of the most fundamental Facebook features, the friends list. They represent a frank acknowledgement from the company, which has long touted its ability to connect the world of the risk of having personal information available on social networks. How many of us have personal information available on Facebook or more social networks? How many of us? Since the Taliban retook control of Afghanistan this week, their promises of amnesty and reconciliation have been undermined by reports that their soldiers are engaging in reprisal attacks and forcible cracking down on protests. So we have a real situation here. And tonight we're going to talk about that crisis in Afghanistan. First of all, I'm going to welcome my co-host, Mr. Coleman. How you doing?
Good, Jenny White. How are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you so. I'm glad you're here with us. You might be able to add something to what's going on tonight. And now I'm going to introduce our guest for tonight. And this is Mr. TC, Mr. Tommy Clark. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And yourself?
I'm fine, thank you. So you're ready to talk about this stuff that's going on with Afghanistan?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Sure.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, a little history. I had 19 years, 6 months, 4 hours, and 20 minutes in the Air Force.
Wait a minute. Back that number up. What was that again?
19 years, 6 months, 4 hours, 10 minutes.
All right. You didn't want to do that 20, huh?
Well, that's where anything over 19 years and a half, you get to 20.
Oh.
And so the reason I did not take the 20 was in the Air Force, I was a paralegal. And once they started giving paralegals gas masks and stuff to practice with, I figured that was about time for me to kind of, you know, kind of give it up a little bit. Because normally we don't go anywhere that's dangerous, especially in the Air Force. So when they start practicing with gas masks and taping your uniforms so gas cannot get into it, that kind of told me that it was time for me to retire before I did get sent over there.
Okay.
So that was the reason why.
You were a paralegal.
I'm trying to think of. It's a paralegal in the civilian world.
It's not a
okay.
It's like
a lawyer. You're actually the assistant of a lawyer, but I was the NCOIC of the legal office.
So you were close.
Officer in charge.
You were close to being an attorney.
Nope.
Is that it? No? Okay, well.
I did all the briefings and stuff for the attorney and set up courts, set up disciplinary actions, do investigations, property management, those kind of things. But I could not give legal legal advice. I could actually say what the Uniform Code of Military Justice, I can actually, you know, I could give a briefing on that, but that's not considered legal advice. That's just the rules of the organization, like the Air Force. The Air Force is no different than any other organization. Everything goes from top down. But
okay.
Most people don't.
Go ahead.
I said one thing people don't realize is that the military is basically, as they call it, a cash cow. Think about the $1 trillion they said that they spent over in Afghanistan. Probably 95% of that was spent on things made in the United States. So those contracts were actually, you know, already dished out. You know, so everybody makes money off wars. That's why you always see, we always have a constant war going on, because the war economy is what we are based on.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I know a lot of people die during things like that.
Think of, if you remember after the Vietnam War, how many helicopters, jet planes we tossed into the ocean? You know,
no.
And all those were paid for. Tanks, they dropped all kinds of stuff into the ocean.
And
so
the reason for that.
More money. Huh?
The reason?
Because then it generates all new stuff again. You go back to the manufacturing thing again. Making money.
And then
okay.
Your enemy doesn't get your technology.
That's true. Well,
is that it? Okay.
Most of that technology is kind of old anyway. By the time it gets to a war zone, you know, things change so quickly on the technology that, you know, it's already old technology. But, you know, you could always bring it back and sit it somewhere until the next the next war, you know, comes up, because you got to remember, you can still use that equipment in another war. Why would you just dump it to a $1 million plane into the ocean? I think you can figure out something else to do with it. Don't you?
I didn't know they threw me in at the first place.
Say that again?
Yeah.
I didn't know they threw them in the ocean. Clogging it up.
Well, I mean, think about it. Now, they were talking about the equipment that's over in Afghanistan. As soon as they get the people out, they're going to blow all that stuff up. I was surprised that they didn't, why didn't they just start bringing it back, you know, or shipping it outside Afghanistan, you know, and put it in the surrounding areas. So just in case they ever need it again, they can roll it out again. But as they say, most wars are really just cash cows. Matter of fact, if you look back to the Cheney, that would be the Bush-Cheney period. Remember, Cheney was on the board of, let me think, I know it begins with an A.
Halliburton.
Right. And guess who got the biggest contracts?
Halliburton.
Correct. So inadvertently, he made tons of money off that, because usually you have to pull the step down and not have anything to do with the company that you're doing business with because of, a conflict of interest. He was the only vice president. When he became vice president, stepped out from Halliburton to the vice presidency, but still had a voice within what that company was doing. So the bottom line is, like anything else, everything boils down to the almighty dollar.
Yeah, I've been getting to see that.
And like I say, most things come from top down, you know, the need to know is basically what they're talking about. Because when I was stationed in California, I was stationed at Castle Air Force Base. And I had a top secret clearance because time I was an admin specialist, okay? And that's where they did the testing for mechanics on a KC-135 aircraft. So in order to go into that restricted area, you had to have a top secret clearance. Okay. So as things, you know, as orders are given, they only go down as far as they need to go. So by right, Biden probably was never briefed on what was going to happen, because usually as you go up the ladder, the closer up you get to the top, the more people like to agree with whatever the guy in charge says. It's like any other organization. You know, that's like me going to your grandson and telling him to tell you something, you know. It should be the other way down. You tell, you know.
So what you're saying, what you're saying is that President Biden just
may not have got all the information that he needs.
Okay.
You feel what I'm saying?
But he's taking
He's still responsible.
Yeah.
He's still responsible now.
He's taking all the hit for it.
Right.
Well, you know, it was set up that way. I mean,
right.
You know, because before Trump left office, he negotiated the release of Mullah Abdul Ghani Baradar, who is now the leader of the Taliban, who was, you know, one of the leaders since been, you know, murdered. But so, you know, he's taking the reins. And Trump negotiated his release from prison, you know, from Pakistan.
Right.
Yeah,
and
that's
so,
what they
you know,
say.
Now, think of how long he has not been active with the Taliban when he was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so how in the world you come from prison and all of a sudden they're going to make you the leader of a certain thing, and you haven't even been active in it in the last, what, 5 or 10 years, maybe? I think he was in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So now you're going to make him, he's going to be over it. Now, he has no clue of what's going on as of now. He may understand the philosophy of, you know, of it, but he doesn't know, you know, the day-to-day operations, what's going on.
He quite possibly could. I mean, people run drug organizations from prison. So I don't think just because he was locked up, you know, he lost contact with what was going on the outside.
Yeah,
I was going to say. You're talking about the day-to-day operations of what's going on the ground. He has no – there's nowhere in the world they could have briefed him. Because you got to understand, Taliban are a whole group of different organizations all over the place. They're not from the same place. You see what I'm saying? You can get everybody together. Hey, y'all, I'm the new boss. You know, this is what we're going to do. You can't say that. It's just like a regular organization, like a General Motors. The VPs know the 30,000 feet view. And as you go down to, like, you know, the vice presidents and on down, when you get to the directors, those are the most hands-on people. And whatever they say, go up, you know, that's what gets passed up to the person on top. But you really don't know what's going on at the lower level.
Now,
so that was
on that note, on that note, I was just going to say how much money was stolen and how much money was spent over in Afghanistan.
For 20 years?
$17 billion in Afghanistan and spent close to $2 trillion. But, you know, one instance, there was $486 million was spent on worthless planes that no one could fly.
So
what they ended up doing was 16 of the planes was sold as scrap for the grand sum of $32,000. So that's 6 pounds. So they took 16 planes, sold them as scrap for $32,000.
That's all.
And that's out of 480. That's all. That's out of 486 million that was spent on purchasing.
Was that us? Please don't tell me who was us that did that.
That's us.
Yeah, that's the United States. Spent, you know, $486 million. And then there was also, and this was, you know, a watchdog group accuses the Pentagon of evading questions, you know, on an $800 million Afghanistan program. And the Inspector General determined that nearly $43 million had been spent on a natural gas station that should have cost closer to $300,000. So $443 million was spent on a natural gas station that should have cost close to $300,000. So like, you know, TC said, there's a lot of people making money, a lot of contractors making money. If you can give you $43 million for something that costs you $300,000, yeah, that's a great return on investment.
Okay, I have a caller who might want to chime in. Mm-hmm. Hey, how are you?
And how's everyone this evening? With your special guest, I would just like to ask a couple of questions. First of all, if you can remember, for President Biden, it was hard for him to get information from Trump, former President Trump, when he was asking about the way the what was the problem. He was supposed to be versed on a lot of things that they would not share with him.
Right.
You know, and he had to go through a lot of changes to even, you know, to turn over information so he would know what was going on. And that was, to me, that was putting the country at risk even then. Then I'd like to ask you something, sir. Are we making the planes and the equipment, the war equipment, are we making it here in the United States, or are we buying it from other people, other countries?
We're buying a lot of our stuff from China, okay? But it's actually assembled in the United States. But, you know, which is kind of crazy if you think about it. You're buying yourself from your enemy.
That's true. That is true. You mean we have come down to the point where we are so dependent upon other people. So just like in World War II, my understanding, we could change our factories over to making war equipment. But what do we have at hand now? What can we do now? The auto companies,
Not the factories, everything is tied to China. I mean, I think our biggest trading partner should be, is probably China. So, you know, I was talking to, well, it wasn't the military, it was the General Motors part where I spent 30 years. This guy, the Japanese, refused to buy parts from China. You know why? If we buy at the price you're selling it to us, you're going to give us junk. So Toyota would buy from only American vendors. See? But
if we had to go to war now. Go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
If we had to go to war now, there would be no way we can make our own equipment here in the United States to know that it's worthwhile to put our soldiers' lives, you know, at risk in something that, you know, that our enemy is making. That's crazy. We cannot turn this country over, like, overnight so that we can produce.
We could probably convert, I'll say within 6 months, possibly. But you have enough.
Then we'd be gone.
We have enough to start it off, but we may not have enough to finish it. That's the problem. You know,
we didn't have enough. What'd you say?
We'll have enough planes that's already built that we can actually use until it's the 6 months it takes to turn over an assembly plant. Or else what they may just do is turn over the Boeing and Lear contract to them, since they're already making the planes, and then just build additions onto that to allow them to maybe double their output. But you still got most of your parts, once again, coming from China.
That don't make sense. It just don't make sense. Whose bright idea was that to make us so dependent on other people?
Well, when manufacturers went over to China and the prices were good, hey, that's where everybody went. So that's where everything was built. First it was Mexico, and then China was able to uncut Mexico, and so then everything went to China in order to make the extra dollar.
And we've been doing that for years.
Yes. Matter of fact, the first Toyota trucks were actually GM trucks. The first Nissan was a GM car that they just put a different label on the front of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Toyota's been beating that behind for a long time because they were in California, and GM bought them thinking that the Toyota Corolla, which is the hottest selling car in America. So GM bought in with them, and GM started building. Have you ever heard of the Prism?
The Prism, yeah, PRISZM or something like that.
Yes, the GM
PRISZM. Yeah.
Guess what? You can't give a Prism away, and they're made on the same line. But the Corona is the highest volume car that they made. Matter of fact, GM finally just went on and turned it back over to Toyota. So the new Prism are really, you know, Toyota built. So when the manufacturers start shifting, and we start looking at cheaper ways and better ways to make cars, that's where all the manufacturing went.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. It really is sad.
Yeah, it is. you know, I'll give you. Remember, do you remember Flint? When I guess back in the 70s, about the 70s, Flint had the biggest union. The city of Flint had the biggest unions in the country. They had over, I think, 3 million people in the UAW, you know, on the different UAWs up there in Flint. Now, this was back when the union, if you're a union boss, you carried a lot of weight, right?
Yeah.
Now, let me make this disclaimer. I cannot say the story is true, but this story is what I've gotten from people who actually worked up at Flint before Flint started going down, okay? There was a VP that went up to Flint, and he was talking to the UAW leaders up at Flint, right? And one of the guys stood up and told the guy to sit down and shut up, that they didn't want to listen to what he had to say.
A vice and president of the United States?
No, a vice president
no.
of General
and,
Motors.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Motors.
I said, wait a minute.
General Motors.
Okay.
Right.
Told him to sit down and shut up, that they ran this place, not him. So he said, are you sure that's what you want? He said, yep. Guess what? 7 years later, Flint was a desert. They shut down everything up in Flint.
And then that water crisis up there, where someone was saying that the water itself was tearing up the products up there. That's a couple,
the water
out made, one,
it,
that's what I heard.
It was messing up the manufacturing plants. So, you know, they use that cool water to cool off cars, to use for undercoating and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And when they switched it over, all that corrosion went into the water, which meant everything you did as far as, you know, cleaning off cars, you know. I stayed up in Grand Blanc, but thank God we did have water from Detroit. But when you crossed over that thing that says Flint, you would have, you know, you get dirty water from that plant. We shut down the plant for almost 2 weeks so they could switch back over to Detroit water and, you know, clean out all the drains and stuff. So, all of it is really kind of all tied together, you know, as you look at it. Because whichever way the automobile company goes, those are the people who's going to be making your airplane, you know, and other things. One of the another interesting thing is, you know, you think if somebody is efficient, you would normally give them, you know, I'll give an example, 191st, which is Air National Guard unit, I'm just giving a number. Say they get $100 million, you know, to run his operation up at Selfridge, okay? And say, for instance, they only spend $75 million of that, right? You would think that'd be a good thing, right? Because you get money back. No. The next time, they would not give them $100 million. They'd only give them $75 million.
Because
you
already got
way. No, you have to figure out a way to make sure you use up all the money that they give you. But come at the end of the period in which we find out we have a lot of money up there, we used to fly on weekends. We used to fly airplanes all the way to Iceland to pick up lobsters, crabs, and stuff, and shrimp, and bring them back and cook them. So for that Saturday and Sunday meal, you have fresh food just picked up from Iceland and back to the States just to burn up money. I mean, they bought all kinds of stuff, they didn't need it. But you had to make sure you used every penny, or else you'd be cut that amount of money the next time.
Yeah,
well,
so
it's not built on efficiency. It's built on, you know, I guess splurging, is that what you call it?
I guess so. Yeah. I guess that's what it means. Okay, well.
Well, thank you very much. Have you heard that that our dollar is not the world exchange? You know, and our dollar was used as an exchange. And someone just told me that five nations will not accept our dollar. Have you heard anything like that?
You said five?
Yeah, five nations refuse now to accept our. Go ahead.
I did hear something about that, but after we went off the gold standard, you know, the dollar was the strongest, but not any longer. I know they were one time talking about using the euro from Europe as a, you know, as a standard.
Means of exchange.
We print too much money. Yeah, they said we print too much money. So a dollar today may not be worth a dollar tomorrow.
Well, Muammar Gaddafi was in the process of putting money back on the gold standard. He was in the process of creating the United States of Africa money, and I think that's one of the reasons why they ended up, Barack ended up killing him, because Hillary Clinton called that strike and killed Muammar Gaddafi, the leader of Libya. And I think that they felt that it was a good time to do that. A black man killing another black man wasn't going to be in the news too long.
I guess you're right. United States of Africa.
Yep, they knocked off Muammar Gaddafi. Gaddafi.
That's interesting.
But, yeah, you know, the president of Afghanistan. No, go ahead. What'd you say?
Okay. Didn't the United States actually threaten, before they killed him, I think this black bank up on Livernois and Seven Mile. They were supposed to. Remember, he was supposed to give them $2 million or $3 million or something, and they shut it down. U.S. shut it down.
They're independent bank.
I know he gave. Louis Farrakhan $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
This Independence Bank here in Detroit.
Yeah. The
well,
one
on still
Seven
operating.
Mile and Livernois, right in that little triangular. It looked like a triangular.
Yeah.
Type bank.
That's Independence Bank. Yeah.
Yep.
We call it the Black Bank.
Right.
That's interesting.
Well, I've got a couple more stats for the 20 years that America has spent over in Afghanistan from the Special Inspector General Afghanistan Reconstruction Report. They said that the life expectancy jumped from 56 years to 65 years. The mortality rate of children under 5 plummeted.
Uh-huh.
And they said between 2002 and 2019, Afghanistan's GDP per capita nearly doubled, and the literacy rate among 15 to 24-year-olds increased. So they said that was some of the benefits that have happened, you know, during the time that America has been over there. But they said despite those gains, the key question is whether they are commensurate with the U.S. investment or sustainable after a U.S. drawdown. And they said in the analysis, they are not. So, you know, all that is for naught, because now that the U.S. is withdrawn, they said that they do not believe that those numbers will be sustainable. And also the president of Afghanistan, Ashraf Ghani, fled over to United Emirates he's either there or Saudi Arabia, and took $169 million with him. So,
okay,
a lot
well,
of fraud.
Well, tell me, they're taking these people out of Afghanistan. Where are they going?
Republicans.
Well, they've
don't
taken.
We don't have
yeah,
any,
they,
any more space.
We don't?
Oh, we got some kids in cages. We're going to put them in cages too?
No, they were talking about putting some over in Gizmo.
And
which
Gizmo?
Is the, well, they call it Gizmo, which is the prison that they were holding the terrorists.
Yeah, the terrorists.
Over Guatemala.
Guatemala.
Yeah, they were talking about, you know, I think we've taken other refugees and sent them over there before they were actually relocated to the United States. But I know that some of these refugees have been taken over to Qatar and Dubai, I believe. So they kept them in the Middle East. But then there are some that will be that will come here.
I think there was like four governors that had already volunteered to take some of them. You know, one governor, I think he said he'd take 20,000, and another said he'd take 30,000, and those, I think there's only three of them that already volunteered to do that. But the Republican Party said they don't want them to come. Because they're probably
you know they don't. They don't like immigrants with color. Nah, mm-hmm. You know, if they were, you know, Polish or if they were white immigrants, you know, they would accept them with open arms. But any immigrants with color, they're against that.
You know why? Because that makes them down further from being the, you know, top dog. They are no longer the, you know, most, you know,
the
people
population.
In America. They are not the largest.
Majority?
Right.
They're not the majority. They're a minority. Well,
right.
They're trying to stop that from happening.
I know. They're trying very
hard.
Yeah,
white people still the majority. Yeah,
57%, I thought it was, percent. Take that and cut it in half and say half of them are Democrats and half of them are Republicans. You know, seem like I can see why the Republican Party went and said, uh-oh, we in trouble.
Well, I've read that they're no longer, you know, the popular, well, not popular, but that I guess
majority.
Yeah, they're no longer the majority. That's
right.
The problem.
Well, they say about 2030 something.
34.
Oh, it ain't gonna take that long.
they
ain't gonna let that
amount
in. But so you ain't gotta worry about it. It is gonna take that long because they ain't gonna let anybody in. They don't want to let people in. Period. So.
Well,
remember,
we have the Asians. The Asians that they're trying to get rid of, and of course black people. They've been doing that for a long time.
Well,
they're
not
trying to
get
rid
of
the Asians.
They just want you to become a servant. That's all. They think you're your best place for you is to be a servant.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, what do you say? Don't move next door to me.
Mm.
I mean,
yeah,
isn't that what the redlining was all about?
What was?
Yeah, that's true. Redlining.
The further you can move away from black people, the more your property is worth.
And the cheaper your insurance is.
Yes.
You're paying an arm and a leg for insurance in in Detroit, whether it's auto insurance, home insurance,
mm-hmm.
it's extremely yep. high.
When,
yep.
when I went to Kansas City, right? Now I had a Ford Probe, okay, and this was back in, when did I go to Kansas City? I think 1995. That one car cost me $1,300 a year for insurance, right?
Okay.
$13,000.
Huh?
$1,300.
Oh, okay.
$1,300 a year for insurance, okay? I moved to Kansas City. I still kept that car. I bought a Cadillac Elante, and I had a Corvette. You know how much all three of those cars?
But was it?
How much?
$1,200 a year for all,
for all
wow.
three.
For all
wow.
three.
Wow.
Less
uh-huh.
than the Probe by itself, huh?
Hey, less than the Probe by itself.
Wow.
But the guy, but wait a minute. The guy's like, ooh, it's going to be high. Oh, you know, it's going to be high. And I said, he said, $600. I said, $600 a month? He says, no,
right.
$600 every 6 months. I said, oh, let me sign up right now.
Wow, right.
Yeah. You know, a lot of black
yeah,
people are concerned about the foreigners coming in, though. They are. The black community is concerned about that also. They said because when they come in, they'll take things more cheaper, work cheaper, and it keeps pushing the income
the
level lower and lower and makes
yeah.
it harder. A lot of African Americans are concerned about that. They don't like it.
Well, you know, if you think
makes
about
it, harder
it
for them to live.
If you're unskilled, if you're an unskilled person, you know, I can see where, you know, a person would be like, you know, they got more money than I do. But
right.
here's the thing. Most of the people that used before this, not the refugees, Chaldeans and other ones that from Middle Eastern, they have already got organizations set up, so they don't need America's money. That's all the gas stations and all that stuff. They don't need America's money. All they want for the Americans.
Oh, but they take it.
Give them
I mean,
five
the women get on aid and
okay.
get the EBT card. You know, while the men ride around in the Mercedes and the Cadillac Escalades,
mm.
take them to the grocery store, but
and
the
not
women
paying
unemployed.
Child support.
Well, I don't know about child support. I mean, you got a house full of kids and two other families. You know. So
yeah.
Well,
yeah,
they
it's, a lot of people are able to milk the system. You know, I was reading today, one of my Facebook friends was talking about somebody they knew, unemployed, you know, well, not unemployed, but not working, and had $10,000 on the EBT card.
How do you get $10,000
yeah.
on the EBT card?
I don't know, but she said they had $10,000 on EBT. Well, the EBT is for the food, so I don't think it was cash. I mean, you could sell it. You know, somebody say, you know, I give you $100 worth of groceries for $50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, well, you know,
now,
hey, I give you $5,000 for, you know, $10,000 worth of groceries, you know, or a $10,000 card. So, I mean, you know, you can't lose with that.
That's crazy.
And that's just like the man that threatened the Capitol the other day. We're blowing it up. You know, one of the things he was ranting about was that if the people come from Afghanistan, they're going to get free insurance, and he can't even get free insurance.
Well, you know, that was
so.
The biggest thing. That was the biggest thing
about
health
insurance.
Bush. Remember?
Yeah, health insurance, yeah.
Yeah.
Medicaid.
Because remember, Bush promised to give everybody that from not Afghanistan. What did Bush? Yeah, was Afghanistan? He promised all those people
Iraq.
Helped Iraq, health insurance for the rest of their life.
Wow.
Well,
wow.
He's gone
like,
now.
We ain't got the health insurance like that over here, but yet
right.
He promised all those people health insurance.
Yeah, they don't. You know, they fighting. You know, they've been trying to repeal Obamacare since it started.
Yeah.
Well, until white people found out them more than anybody else.
That's well, it. They still tried to repeal it. They still tried to do that while Trump was in office. It didn't matter. The Supreme Court, you know, shot it down, so they weren't able
right.
to do it. But I think they've tried over 20-some times taking it to the court.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. They
but
just want
to
do it because they called
just
it
to make
Obama.
Sure you don't get something. Well, they had him against not Obamacare. They called it something else. What did they call it?
Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, people say, we don't want the Obamacare. We want the Affordable Care Act. That's what we
right,
want.
Right, that's what I'm saying. They didn't like
well,
it.
I'm saying, they didn't know that it was the same thing.
Because
so
they're
just
stupid.
Because they had Obama's name on it, the white people didn't want it.
Right. Well, they did that in spite of him, you know. And he ended up embracing it, you know. But now, you know, I guess... Anybody else? They got you know Biden care, and you know I didn't hear anything about Trump care.
Yeah,
it was a Trump care. You're right. He don't care. You're right. So.
He cares
but
about
the Republicans. You know they haven't put a plan together to replace it. You know they
and
just want to repeal.
And that's the problem. That's the problem. They didn't want it. But they never do the work to create another
right.
one. They
nope,
never did
they don't
that.
Want to do the work.
And
they
haven't
just want to
done
take
it
away.
To this day.
It wasn't important for them to do that.
Well, he's been out of office for years now, and they still haven't created a different insurance.
Well, you know what Trump
nope.
told them? Trump told them that don't. When we get rid of it, then I'll create a new one for you.
No,
you
aren't going to
have anything.
Now, how many people are going to be dead during that process? Well, that's just like, you know, with this pandemic, you know, all these ICU beds are being taken up. You know, if you got to you go in there because you're having an issue and there's no room. You know, you might just have to die. You don't
oh,
have no space
okay.
for you, you know.
Yeah, well, I like the way you said that.
Patients. Yeah, you just go on back home and, you know, get your affairs in order because you're about to die. Right. Hey.
Well, you know, Trump was in favor of the, what do they call it, when you get immune,
vaccinations.
No,
herd immunity.
Herd immunity. See, there was two herd immunities, right? The herd immunity that Trump was talking about, he figured 4 to 5 million people would die. See, that's the one he was thinking about. Well, Biden was just talking about the opposite way. Trump said, this let it run wild, and whoever lives, one will survive. So they
Someone
figured
else said that.
At least 4 million people would have to die for him to be the head honcho forever.
Nothing to him. As long as he ain't one of them.
Right. But you see, as all his people start dropping, you know, and dying from the COVID, all of a sudden they begin to say, well, maybe this is not a good reason yet.
Yeah.
You know,
Abbott, you know, has it. You know, the
yeah,
governor
and he didn't want anybody to wear masks Not his
and
behind.
There's three other senators that have it right now. You know. So one independent.
You know, we done lost a whole lot of people from that pandemic. A whole lot.
Yeah. And with these kids getting to go back to school, you know, the numbers are steady increasing. And, you know, and as this weather changes and gets, you know, colder, it's, you know, and go into flu season, you know, I don't think it's going to get any better. Probably going to get worse before it gets better.
That's frightening because kids have to go to school. They have to go to school.
Yeah.
And a lot of them aren't age able to take the vaccine. So I don't know what kind of situation we're going to have.
Well, they'll probably find some way to blame it on us.
Well, you know, the lieutenant
governor. Well, that's what the governor said. It's because of the black Americans.
Yeah, that's the lieutenant governor,
Yeah, I had it's a lot of people not wearing masks, and you know, especially those people. You know, I had gone and you know taken a tour around a country club, you know, that has a golf course, you know, to look into a membership there, and so you know,
and you were the only one,
walking,
huh?
Well, yeah, I was. You know, as I was walking around, I did see a little black girl. You know, who was probably interning for the summer, you know. And, you know, I had my mask on, you know, but I'm sure she was surprised to see a black person. She probably ain't seen a black person all summer. You know. But I was, you know, as I was going through the place, I asked the young lady who was, you know, taking me on the tour. I said, now, how many, you have any black members? And she looked at me and said, not many.
No.
You know, she said, we need some diversity. You know,
which
and.
Probably means
so
none.
Probably right. So when we got to, you know, and the reason I asked is because, you know, when she was telling me, you know, where a lot of the members stayed, because the club is in Redford. And she was telling me, you know, a lot of the members are, you know, from Livonia. And I know Livonia is very racist. So I said, well, you know, wow, do you have any black members? You know, she said, not very many. You know, we'd love for you to come and be a part of it. I mean, yeah, I'm sure you would. You know, so as we toured the bar, I mean, you know, ain't nothing but old white men in here, you know. And, you know, they're sitting at the bar, you know, they're drinking. And I'm standing here talking to the man who's showing me around. And I've got my mask on. You know, I'm in this building. I'm in the, you know, in this bar area. And I've got my mask on. And they're looking at me, and I can only imagine what they were thinking. You know, not only being black, but being black with a mask, you know. And and it looked like one of them wanted to say something to me. We kind of made eye contact, and you know, but you know, he ain't say nothing to me, you know. But I'm like,
well,
they want
you so they can say that they're not racist.
Racist.
Well, I don't even know that they. If you probably asked a lot of the members, I'm sure they would say we're doing just fine because we don't want him to come and then bring his friends. Then bring Pookie and Ray. Right. So I'm sure they don't care about them saying they got black members. They good just like they are.
No,
you
they
know?
Just wanted
so,
you. They didn't want anybody else.
No, I don't think they wanted me. I'm telling you, I don't want them. So so that was just the latest, you know, situation, you know, going into an environment that was, you could tell, it just felt like there were a lot of Trump supporters in the room. And,
oh!
I mean, everything,
They're everywhere.
You know, between black and white is kind of political. You know, mask or no mask.
We were on the highway the other day, and this car came alongside us. And, you know, you don't always look, but it just so happened that I turned my head and looked, and there I saw on his window was a picture of Donald J. Trump with his thumb up. And so I started laughing, and we were passing the driver, and I noticed that he was an elderly gentleman. And I had to turn my head because I didn't want him to see me laughing because it was funny to me. He's one, and that was the first time I had seen that. But I've heard that they're still carrying his flags and whatever. And then didn't somebody tell Biden to leave?
That's the guy with the bomb.
Okay.
The so-called bomb.
Told him to leave. Now, I still don't. I just don't understand. I just don't understand that. I guess I never will.
Well, they said today, I was looking at MSNBC, and they were talking about the January 6th invasion.
Right.
They were saying half the people were there actually took jets and stuff to fly there. You know, so these were not poor people. These were rich people that actually stormed
the
Capitol.
And
they were not tourists.
They were not
No, they
tourists.
Were not tourists. Because they said, one lady said that she had to get back because she had to get back to something. She had a pool being built, so she had to leave in a hurry. So that's why they caught her at home. She said, well, I had to fly back in order to get my pool finished. And they were like, now these people are not starving. These people are people that own businesses, you know.
Yeah,
and
some people flew in on charter jets. One lady asked the court, you know, if she could, go to Mexico before she was, you know, went to jail or was sentenced. She said, I got a trip planned to Mexico. And they let her go.
They let her go.
What's she going to Mexico for? Where her business
vacation.
Was located?
No, she had a vacation. Vacation scheduled, yeah. She didn't want to lose her money. So they let her go.
We'll see if
there's no justice at all.
Right, because if it had been one of us, they said, well, you just lost your money.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we're going to put you in a underneath it.
Well, that's like, you know, that's like I read a story about two ladies in Ohio. A white lady had been embezzling money for over 20 years from I think it was a school system, and she had embezzled close to probably $300,000-$400,000 over 20 years. So she got busted. The court gave her probation, and I think she wrote a check for $100,000, and they gave her restitution. Now, the black lady had been embezzling money from, I think, another school system for over a two-year period. I think she had taken about $50,000, and they gave her 24 months in jail. And she, she said that she would, take her pension. And, pay $20,000-$30,000 of that money back. But it was the same crime, and the black lady got 24 months and the white lady got probation. So, you know, justice ain't justice. It ain't equal.
Do y'all remember a guy named Volsky? Back in the 60s and the 70s, he was a stock trader.
Oh, I was Ivan Volsky.
I think it's Ivan is his first name.
Yeah, I
they caught
Volsky.
Him for insider trading, right? And they call themselves finding him. They said, well, we're going to fine you $360 million. You know what he said? You want cash or check?
I guess he had embezzled enough so he could pay it.
50 years. Otherwise, $300 million was nothing for him. He had been stealing money for 40, 50 years.
Wow.
And he said, y'all ain't done nothing.
Yeah. You know, so I'm saying, rich people do get away with it, you know, more than we do.
Oh, it's a white-collar crime.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's white-collar.
Inside of trading.
Now, you go to the corner liquor store and steal a Snickers, you're going to do more time than that man that stole $300 million. Right. You're going to spend more time than the man that stole $300 million.
He has stolen the billion. Still no 300. This man has stolen in the billion.
What do you say, cash or check?
Cash or check.
That's like
but
if
you notice,
man,
every white collar crime you find that people get fined a large amount of money, it's never the amount of money that they stole. It's always like 10% of it. So, you know, if I spend
right.
$10 million and you make me give $1 million back, I mean I'm still up $9, aren't I?
Right.
Tell me about it.
I'd have made
Tell
a profit. Right. Right.
That's sad.
I made a profit.
By stealing,
yep.
That's
sad. Well, I mean, that's how America was built. You know, the Kennedys, you know, they got rich based on prohibition and illegal alcohol. You know, that was part of their crime. There's been a whole lot of crimes that made people rich. In America.
Yeah, unfortunately,
you know,
it hasn't been us.
Well,
they blocked
us
with
down. They burn our cities. They kill us.
Yeah.
You know, they take our property and land. You know, so it ain't like black folks, you know, Black Wall Street, Rosewood. You know, they say it's about 100 cities. That's been flooded and that's underwater. There's lakes right now, like Lake Lanier in Georgia. Used to be a city called Oscarville that had blacks in it. You know, but they opened the dam and flooded that city after, you know, a young black man, I think it was two, were accused of raping a white woman. Ran a lot of black people, you know, out the city, and then flooded it out. So it's a lake now. It would have been a lake. Well, it's a whole lot of lakes that were cities that blacks were predominantly in that, you know, and this is history that, you know, you either never heard of or that, you know, just slowly starts to trickle out as we get older. You'd be like, okay, I'm 90 years old. I ain't never heard that story. Well, that's how they wanted it. They didn't want you to know.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. So we've accumulated some wealth. But a lot of it has been passed down for generations.
Yeah, that's the thing. That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. Pass mine down.
You want my address?
Oh. Well, I was going to say when. Right.
Not before me.
Is that going to be cash or check?
No check.
Yeah, right. Say no check, please. Right.
No check.
Right. Check be bouncing. Right. Say just cash at me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just make sure you got the app.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think we had a good show today talking about Afghanistan and a lot of other hot topics. I mean, it's been an open mic, you know. We pretty much held it down.
Yeah.
Any final words? Any final words? Sister Lucy, you want to put anything on the record?
Well, thank you. All right, well, thank you.
She knows she
really
got something to say.
No, I'm trying to think of when I hear things, like the things we're being faced with, I keep wondering, how can we in the black community do a lot better in securing our community? That's my thing I keep thinking about, you know. What can we do to secure our, you know, for our children, for the next generation? We've got to start doing something. Yeah, what can we do? The information was beautiful that the our guest had. And I'm really thankful for it. And I feel like I'm naked sitting here with not, and they could throw a bomb and they know, you know, we have nothing to protect ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's sad. It's sad that we're, you know, that way. And what we there should be something still that we can do within our community secure some type of future for our generations to come.
Well,
this
if you listen to Maslow, Abraham Maslow, you got to take care of the basic needs first before you go up that hierarchy. You know, you got to get those homes stable, you know, food, stuff. You got to get that stable before you start going up that that triangle, the hierarchy is what he called it.
Oh yeah. The hierarchy of needs,
Yeah. So I'm saying,
but we stay in the hierarchy and forget about what's down at the bottom. Until, you know,
right.
What they say, we beg for what we need, but we buy what we want.
Right.
Mm.
Right.
And that is stuff, you know. It has
so
to
we
change.
Have
to have a lot of changes going on within our community. How can we affect a lot of people?
I always say if the preachers could get together, there would be a halfway chance of doing something. But
wouldn't
most
that be great?
Can't get along with each other.
That's
right.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They're the ones that really outdo one another.
Come together. Yeah.
Right. Because I never heard Jesus say something about you got to have a jet plane. And to get around
right.
to pass his word around, you know. So, yeah, it kind of makes you wonder.
Huh.
More preachers with what they say. What I understand why they had Cadillacs back in the day because they wouldn't let them invest in the black community. You know, this guy was telling me, Mr. Armstrong, he's on a shoe shine shop on Conan in Nevada. He said, "Now I could buy any car I want. But if I want to redo my shoe shine shop, no one would give him money for it." Because I used to always wonder when I was growing up, how come all these black people got cars and they sit in front of these tore-down houses? You know, I was like,
wow.
That's true. But the reason was the banks were not lending to them. They would not lend to people in Detroit that was trying to fix their homes up. So that was the reason why all those Cadillacs were sitting out there.
They wouldn't lend them any money.
You got to face those things, too, you know. Those are the things that are holding us back. But then, if you do get ready to make a move, do we have the people with the skills to do it, to make the move?
That's the big one.
You know, you can't wait till they say, today we need 10,000 people. Now you're going to go to college for 4 years. By the time you get out, that thing is gone.
Hmm.
You know.
Well, I tell you what, I tell you, what we need to do is start a contracting business and get ready for this next war.
Next time the war comes down, you start bidding for these contracts.
I mean, if you only get $50 million, you know, I think, you know, you'll be all right. Because one of the things was with, I saw one of the reports with one of the interpreters that were helping the Marines over in Afghanistan. They were trying to get him out before the Taliban killed him and his family, you know, him and his five kids, him and his wife and his five kids. And so with that, it was, you know, it just showed the story of everything they had to go through in order to try to escape. But it was just the fact of, and I lost my train of thought with the point I was trying to make. But anyway, it was just talking about, let's go to something else. I lost my train of thought. It was a good point, too. Maybe it'll come back before we get off the air.
TC?
Yes?
All right. Any final words?
Let's just keep on talking, and maybe, like the young lady said, you know, we could figure out something, you know, to help our young people. Because if we don't do it, there's no one else will do it.
Well, you know, the thing about that is we have – each one of us has a different skill. And if we got together, we can start something. Wow.
The point I was going to make was, you know, for a lot of these people, you know, to get their visas and come over to America, you know, the Afghanistans that assisted the United States over there with, you know, interpreters and things of that nature, you had to show that you at least had 2 years of service and assistance. And so they were saying that it was difficult for a lot of the interpreters to have somebody to, you know, write them a letter or credential them, because a lot of the contractors no longer exist. A lot of those people have, you know, they've got over there and got their money, and now they've dissolved the businesses. So, you know, I mean, it's just the way the game is played. And then they were talking about all the mansions, you know, and million-dollar homes around the D.C. area, you know, that these contractors, you know, are living in and have built, you know. I mean, black people need to do it. I mean, it's an education piece. A lot of times we don't participate because we don't know. But then, you know better, you do better. And, you know, nothing beats a failure but a try. You can't be scared. I mean, you might just get rich. You might just get rich. You might just get a contract.
I know that's right.
Yeah.
It would be well worth the effort.
Yeah, I
mean, you know, that's better than being broke.
I know that's right.
You know, or, you know.
And if it doesn't work the first time.
Who can use the extra $10
million? Huh. Oh, maybe I could. Just 10, you know.
Yeah, who can use the extra $10 million, you know?
Yeah.
Selling some screws to the government. And then they need minority contractors, and then they need, you know, women are double minorities, women, and you know, and then especially if you're a minority, you know.
Well, it can be done. I'm just telling you guys that. It can be done.
Oh, I know. Yeah, they do it. They've been doing it. People getting rich.
Is there a specific website you could, you know, go take a look at to, you know, to find the different type of contract that can be bought, but, you know, for an individual?
Yeah, it's I get bombarded with emails in my Gmail account for defense contracts. I think it's Department of Defense .gov. You pull it up, they'll show you all kinds of contracts that are available. I mean, you know, daily. I mean, you'll have over 100 emails a day just on contracts.
Oh.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, if you do enough research and digging, you know, I did during a period of time, I was interested in that, and I found it and got connected, you know, and signed up for the email, and got on the email list. I had to stop some of them. It was coming so quick. But, you know,
no.
You mess around and get the right contract,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and go a little further with it, then, you know. Who knows? Sky's the limit.
That's for sure. I think there's something we can do. We need to get together and talk about something.
Yeah.
In the meantime, I know. Sounds great. That's how things originate. And before we go, and like my co-host said, we have had a great show.
And thanks so much to our guest. Very important.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mr.
T.C. Thank
TC,
you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate you.
I enjoyed it more than y'all did, probably.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. That's a good thing.
That means a lot, yeah.
Yeah. So
it means a lot.
And I'd like to leave you guys with, a lie doesn't become truth, wrong doesn't become right, and evil doesn't become good just because it's accepted by a majority. So we need to think about that.
You definitely got to look at that one. Boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So having said that, I wish everybody a great weekend, and don't forget Sunday is church day.
Are the churches back open?
Not all of them. As far as I know, yours isn't. So anyway, there's some on television. Yes, some on television. So I'd like to say you guys have a great, fantastic weekend.
All right,
and
good night.
I will see you next
Thanks
time.
So
Let's
see you next
listen.
Week.
Yep. This is the Let's Talk About It with Jenny White show. Good night.
Good night.